it starts with that exciting innovation where everybody's like, ah, this is going to fix our lives. And it for sure does fix our lives. But investors have to look at the valuation of these companies before buying into them. I would say we are between the boom and euphoria in those five stages of a bubble. Let's see whether we can get to the profit-taking. I think what we should watch for out now is for more listings. I believe the venture capitalists in the US now are taking on new businesses, tagged AI. Now they will want to offload them to the stock market. Now they may not be profitable, they may not have revenue, but you will see a lot of uptake because it's AI adjacent. But then once profit taking starts coming, then you have to be careful whether you'll be left holding the bag or not. History does not repeat itself, but it often rhymes. Even in the financial markets, you don't always have like to like. But there are specific factors you look at to inform whether you're getting to the bubble or not. So, for example, the AI frenzy and the dot-com bubble, there are similarities and differences.
Hello. Welcome to another episode of Make Money the Podcast, the show where we not only tell you, but also show you what's happening to your money and what could happen. And, of course, this is always guided by conversations with the experts of money. And I'm happy at this point to introduce the topic for this week. We are talking about the global markets. What we've seen is the market rise. In the US, this market is in its third year of its bull run. The valuations have gone quite high. We have the likes of NVIDIA valued at over $5 trillion, is not even shillings. And we have the likes of Microsoft, Apple following suit with a multi-trillion valuations. Of course, this has raised concerns among the investor community about the likelihood of a bubble, noting again that the artificial intelligence boom has driven a lot of that market rise, and there are fears that these investments might not recoup in terms of revenue, in terms of profitability for these firms. Now, speaking from a Kenyan perspective, we have quite a number of Kenyans with exposures to these global markets through their special funds, the likes of ETFs offered by local fund managers. And so we are going to assess the risk posed by this fear of overvaluation and market exuberance in the advanced or global markets, and to see how that has a bearing on our own investment portfolios right here. And I'm happy to introduce the guest for this week. We have Dorcas Mwangi, a portfolio manager at Jubilee Asset Management. And Dorcas, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you for having me.
And I'll jump right to the, I've tried to set the context for what we are seeing in the global market. I'll drop the B word right here. Are we in a bubble with what we are seeing out there?
Yeah. So thank you, Kefa, once again. Yeah, I think a lot of us have this question in our mind. Are we in our bubble? Because the S&P 500 has been up 3 years in a row. But let's define what a bubble is. So a bubble is in the context of a financial market, it's where asset prices go way above their intrinsic or fundamental values. Why this happens is because of excitement from investors due to maybe a new innovation, a lot of money supply in the market. So some of these things are what pushes those asset prices higher. Some of the stages of a bubble, we have the first one is when a new innovation comes. So for example, the motor vehicle, we had airplanes back in the day, and then we got to the internet era where we saw a lot of people hop on the shares of those companies. And now we have AI, the AI frenzy. So it starts with that exciting innovation where everybody's like, ah, this is going to fix our lives. And it for sure does fix our lives. But investors have to look at the valuation of these companies before buying into them. The next stage of a bubble is the boom. Now, a lot more investors hop on this talks. You start seeing prices rally 1 year, 2 year in. And then now we have the euphoria level where you can clearly see, according to the revenues and the profits of these companies, the prices that they are trading at in the stock market are really not making sense. Looking at their price to earnings, some companies don't even have earnings. For example, in the dot-com era, some of these companies never had any earnings and they were still trading at really high prices. But then now comes the profit taking from the survey investor, where they see that, there's a bit of a bubble, these prices are not making sense. So they start exiting, and the retail investor, the not-so-savvy investor, is left holding the bag. And finally comes the crash. I bet the question is, in the five stages, where are we? It is very hard to tell, but I believe that now we have AI. That's the first one. We are excited about AI. We have seen the boom. I would say we are between the boom and euphoria in those five stages of a bubble. Let's see whether we can get to the profit-taking. I think what we should watch for out now is for more listings. I believe the venture capitalists in the US now are taking on new businesses tagged AI. Now they will want to offload them to the stock market. Now they may not be profitable, they may not have revenue, but you will see a lot of uptake because it's AI adjacent. But then once profit taking starts coming, then you have to be careful whether you'll be left holding the bag or not.
So you've spoken of the five stages of a bubble.
Yeah.
And here I would take interest in the last one, which is the crash.
Yes.
If we are to really get to that point where we have a crash in the market, and we've spoken of Kenyan investors being piling up also offshore, because of course, once we've seen interest rates come down, we've seen a pivot by local fund managers towards special funds, most of which have most of their assets again in offshore investment, including equities in the US, EU, China, Japan, and the likes. If we get to that last stage, you did mention we are quite somewhere in between, but not there yet.
Yes.
What do you feel might be the impact for local fund managers? You know, someone who has their 100,000, 200,000 invested through a fund with an exposure to the likes of the US market, and that all comes crashing down.
Yeah.
What would happen?
So to put it into context of how much fund managers are holding. So we have the CIS funds, right? They are at about 596, according to quarter two CMA report.
Yeah.
596 Kenya shillings in billions. Out of those, we have about 50 billion invested in USD. We also have 44% of that being in special funds that have invested in offshore assets, right? But for the normal fund manager, you're dealing with your money market, your fixed income, your USD, which are majorly invested in fixed income securities, right? These fixed income securities, now the danger comes in where the shilling, due to outflows. To put this into context, we have 596 billion shillings invested in CIS funds. We have about 2.5 trillion in pension funds, and only 8% of the CIS funds are invested in offshore securities, as well as 2% of the pension funds. All these funds, either CIS funds or the pension, are well anchored in local domestic assets. They are also well anchored in fixed income, that is government securities, fixed deposits. So a move in the market, maybe a crash, yes, it will be a hit on the books, but I think being well diversified in the other assets will really help these funds.
We go back to the five stages you spoke about. And in this case, I would like us to go again to the early 2000s when we saw the dot-com era bubble. Again, I'll appreciate for anyone listening and watching, you know, you must be of a certain age to really remember the minute details to that. But if you are to walk us out, and I've seen the debate made a lot that there's a huge difference between what we saw as the dot-com era bubble, which of course came crashing down, and what we have now as AI. Like you mentioned, we still haven't seen the many listings of AI-linked stocks. I mean, a lot of the companies that are already AI-geared were already listed and already having sound fundamental businesses. If we are not to see those IPOs, then does that perhaps dilute the worry about the creation of the bubble if we won't see venture capitalists, private equity dumping these stocks to market and exposing every one of us to the same risk of what we saw with the dot-com era? What's perhaps the fundamental difference?
There's a quote I like from Mark Twain that says, "History does not repeat itself, but it often rhymes." Even in the financial markets, you don't always have like to like, but there are specific factors you look at to inform whether you're getting to the bubble or not. So for example, the AI frenzy and the dot-com bubble, there are similarities and differences. I'll start with similarities. So you can see the excitement around it, same excitement we had in 2000, the internet is here. It's a whole world of possibilities with the internet. AI, we are yet even to grasp what AI can do. So there's a lot of excitement. And the thing investors forget is that, yes, there's a whole possibility, but these are companies being run. There has to be enough infrastructure. There has to be a process to it. Amazon got from one stage to the next to the next. You cannot price the whole future to now. That's what investors forget. However, there are differences where we see a company like Nvidia has proven revenues. I mean, the last 5 years, the earnings have grown at a 90% CAGR. That is per year, 90%. And then we see their profit has grown up to around 140 billion, if I'm not wrong. A good amount of money that is being shown to investors that this is a proven case. These companies are buying from Nvidia. But compared to the dot-com bubble, where we had maybe Yahoo, it didn't have the earnings. Yet they had valuations, crazy, crazy valuations. So what we are saying for now is that the companies that are listed, they have concrete earnings, a proven business case. But we may see other companies being offloaded by the venture capitalists or private companies, private equity companies, to the market that do not quite meet the criteria. So that's where the difference might come in. But all in all, there's the frenzy, there's an AI frenzy for sure. How long it will continue, we don't know. A regular bull market runs for 4 to 6 years. A bear market runs for less than a year, 10 months. There's quite some time to determine whether there's a bubble or not.
Coming back to what you spoke about, diversification as a hedge against risk, we look at our local pension funds. Of course, they are obligated to put a lot of their money in fixed income, basically government securities, which again offers that fixed return, and the exposure towards offshore private equity and the likes are quite limited. When we come to special funds, the story is the opposite of it. You are allowed to load as much risk as you can, and what we've seen is these type of funds diversifying in as many stocks as they can. So you'll find a special fund in pharmaceuticals, banking sector stocks, a bit of maybe AI-linked stocks where you will find the likes of NVIDIA and Microsoft, Apple, Alphabet, and the likes. Coming to the fund manager in terms of de-risking from the eventuality of a bubble being created and you being found out, and like you say, you don't want your clients holding the bag at the end of the day. How do you diversify when you are so geared towards a certain investment class? How do you still achieve that diversity, and can you even achieve it?
As a fund manager, we usually invest per client mandates. For example, we have the normal mandates, the unit trust and all of that. Then you have the individual clients who walk in and have a substantial amount of money and they want to invest. So for us here is to determine the client's ability to take risk and the willingness to take risk. A client's ability to take risk is, first of all, where are they in the stage of life, right? Have they just started employment? Are they retiring? So that we can determine the amount of risk they can take. The next is to determine how much money they have and how it can be distributed, right? That is pretty technical. You can put it in spreadsheets and manage that. The other one is the willingness to take risk. Does this client understand that the equities can go low? They can be up 40% this year and 20% the next year. So that is gauge the savviness of the investor before you put their money wherever you're putting it. For the funds that we have invested for in equities or even offshore assets, I think here it's a lot of investor education. There are bear markets. For example, from 1999, the internet crash, to now, the market has done hundreds in percentage of gain. So you can be able to ride that. Just help the investor understand that you have to ride these downs and ups.
Sticking to the same question, so I would like to create a scenario. Let's assume I'm 55 years old with about 5 to 10 years to retirement, but I come to you, PIE wanting NVIDIA, wanting Meta. What advice then would you give to someone who they really want the entire exposure? How do you go about knowing whether then they have that appetite for that risk, or even if they might have the appetite, maybe it might not even suit them? How would you explain away that to an investor?
Ability to take risk and the willingness to take risk. I believe the willingness here is, although it can still be gauged, do they understand that next year we might have a 20% drawdown, and how will they react when that happens? So that is one of the ways to gauge that. The other one is the ability. At 55, I think you're looking 5 years to retirement. Do they have enough in their basket of investment to cover their retirement, is the return they're getting from their retirement, from the assets that they hold, will they be able to cover their retirement? Even if it's able to cover, you have to be very careful on the amount you're putting in equities, even for the 55-year-old. As we say, you're still trying to make money for them, but more here is on capital preservation. I think the best way to look at it is to have an S&P, a bag. Just have a basket of it, basket of equities that will be able to expose you in whatever sector, other than being exposed to the specific stocks.
For my final question, this is now someone who's trying to go at it alone. You're not going through a fund manager where, they might diversify the basket of your investment using a fund. We look at someone trying to invest directly. How do you still shockproof your investment from the downside risk, especially if that bubble is to materialize and we get to that exuberance period, we see the IPOs and then we see the doubt re-come in and the eventual crash. For someone looking to go offshore, how do you still ensure that you're first very realistic, you're very aware of what's happening, and then again, you don't leave yourself too short in that a correction basically wipes you out?
S&P 500 has gained an average of 7 to 10% every year for the last at least 20 years, the market will always make money, but there'll be ups and downs. For the investor, it's to understand that this is not a get-rich-quick scheme. This is companies you're investing in, and this is a stock market. There are people, it's a voting machine in the short run and a weighing machine in the long run. So you want to look at the fundamentals of these companies you're investing in. You want to diversify. You want to avoid leverage, because leverage is what will hurt you when there's a drawdown, because then your margin called and your position is liquidated. So you want to be able to position your portfolio in such a way to ride the downs so that you can enjoy the ups, which often, more than not, they compensate for the down years. Yes, there's excitement. It's very hard to time the market. Warren Buffett says, buy the S&P 500 ETF and forget about it, because overall, you will gain. However, if you get into the frenzy and FOMO and you want to get into risky assets and use leverage, the options and the CFDs, there are people who are very well savvy with that, which is okay. But for a normal, regular Kenyan or someone who wants to invest, they have to take care of what they're investing in. As we keep reiterating as fund managers, have an emergency fund, 3 to 6 months. Have your risk-free assets, your government's securities, your money market funds. Then you can consider equities and avoid so much leverage if you're not too savvy with what you're doing.
That has been Dorcas Mwangi, a portfolio manager at Jubilee Asset Management, and that has been another episode of Make Money the Podcast. And as always, take some tips from Dorcas, don't be left holding the bag, and remember, as always, until I catch you on the next episode, make your money work for you. Goodbye.